Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Today's second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's sermon comes from the epistle lesson from the book of Acts, but I wanted to read a bit more of Peter's sermon. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of the godless men who put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let the Holy One undergo decay. Thou hast made it known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness and with your presence. It's Pentecost Sunday. And part of Pentecost Sunday is when St. Peter really emerges as an early leader of the church. I always love St. Peter because I can relate to him. He had a tendency before Pentecost to say dumb things. Things he really shouldn't have said, like when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah was there, and St. Peter just blurts out because he didn't know what else to say, let's build three tents, Lord, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter could have great moments too when he called Jesus the Christ, the Lord. And then Peter turns around in the next couple of verses and says, you can't go to Jerusalem to die. But Peter is finally coming into his own. It's Pentecost. What's the history and significance of it? Well, the word Pentecost comes from the Greek word meaning 50. And Christians did not invent the name Pentecost. They borrowed it from the Greek-speaking Jews. They celebrated what's called the Festival of Weeks. In Leviticus 23:16, the people were to count 7 weeks or 50 days from the end of Passover to the beginning of the next holiday. It's the second greatest feast in the Jewish calendar, Pentecost being the most important, but the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost is the second most important celebration. It celebrates the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Now, offhand, you know, it's a little bit of a sidebar here. That's a good thing to commemorate the giving of the law. But they messed up the law. Because, first of all, we all break the law every day. There's no doubt on that one. But where they went astray is they thought if they kept the law perfectly, God would save them. The law does not save. The gospel message is what saves. But before we condemn them, you know what? There's a lot of people who are guilty, myself included at times. Have I been good enough for the Lord to accept me? If I just do this, then the Lord will be happy with me. Now, for Christians, we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where the church is empowered in its mission. And what's pouring out of the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus had instructed the disciples to remain in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit. 10 days passed from when he said that to when Pentecost comes. And in the meantime, they selected Matthias to replace Judas. Matthias is an interesting character. It's the only time we hear of him, when he was selected. See, God said, okay, you want 12 apostles, but Matthias wasn't the one. It was St. Paul who was to replace Judas. Now, Jews from all over the world had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Festival of Weeks. They're gathered together, and there's a great rushing wind, and tongues of fire rest on each one of the apostles' head. And the people heard in their own language the message. One of the questions is, how could these Galileans know all these languages? As I said, Peter's come a long way. He steps up and he gets everyone's attention. And some are trying to dismiss what was happening by saying they're drunk. Well, St. Peter points out that this is a religious festival. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And according to the religious festival rules, nobody ate or drank before noon. And it's only 9 o'clock. Besides, how many smart drunks have you ever met? I mean, they're full of advice. I mean, they can solve the world's problems when they're drinking. But their speech ends up being slurred and they say stupid things. It's hard enough to understand them in English, let alone if they try to speak a foreign language. So Peter dismisses that right away and says, too early in the morning, now listen to what I have to say. And he begins by quoting the book of Joel. Maybe he had studied it as a boy. Maybe Jesus had preached or taught about this passage. But nevertheless, Peter quotes the book of Joel. He begins with it. You can't argue against Scripture. Peter reads or recites a portion of Scripture. You can't argue that what Peter is saying is wrong because he's quoting Scripture. Scripture is inspired by God and it's good and true. Peter focuses on the Word of God. And the other disciples repeated what Peter was saying in other languages. Joel talks about in the last days. The last days begin after Jesus' resurrection, and today we live in the last days. The prophecy had been fulfilled. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and went. 7 different times in the Old Testament, it's recorded that the Spirit of God rested upon a person, but then he left. Now he's going to enter both Jews and Gentiles. He's going to enter all people regardless of their station in life, whether they're the servant or the master, whether they're the slave or even the master again. It doesn't matter their station in life, rich or poor, leper or the healthiest person in the world. The Holy Spirit's going to enter all people. He's going to enter all people who believe in what Christ has done. Now, part of the prophecy has yet to come. The part about the sun and the moon changing colors, that has yet to happen. But Peter has their attention. And Peter does all this, by the way, with no notes and no preparation. God was giving him the words to say. And Peter brings these words to the people. He brings the people to Jesus. And the crucifixion still fresh in their mind because it's only about 50 days ago. He tells them that all that has happened with Jesus was from God and under God's control. All the rumors and stories about Jesus' resurrection were true. Then Peter quotes David. David's held in great regard. Peter backs up what he has to say from Psalm 16, verses 6 to 11, which says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard the voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew and spread his wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. So Peter quotes part of that scripture. Of course, if you quote David at this time, it automatically has credence. And David is prophesying about what's going to happen to the Messiah. And David is thrilled, filled with joy at what's to come. First of all, in another place, David talks about that the Lord's body will not see decay. That gives David hope, because if his body does not decay, it means he's going to rise again, and David and all believers can rise too. We know the promises. We today know the promises of Jesus. He died for us, but he did not stay dead. Death had no power over him. And when Peter is quoting David, he makes it very clear that David's talking about the Messiah and not himself. David is in a tomb in Jerusalem. Jesus is not. Peter's bringing all the people to focus on Jesus himself. If David believed it, then Peter's words had merit. They can't refute what they're witnessing, the tongues of fire and the speaking of the languages. Then Peter goes on. You killed him, but God raised him up. We today are part of that crucifixion. Our sins caused him to go to the cross. Question was once asked, if only one person had sinned, so Eve was the only one who had ate the apple, not Adam, would Jesus still have come to die for Eve? And the answer would be yes. Because it's all of our sins that put him on the cross. We're all to blame. So what do we do now? Scripture tells us to repent and be baptized. Repent means to turn back to God. It doesn't just mean to try harder. I'm going to try to be good today. No, it means to turn to God and a complete reversal of what we're doing. We confess our sins and turn away from our sins. What happened on Pentecost Sunday? 3,000 people were added to the numbers of the followers of Jesus. 2,000 years later, how many people are added daily or yearly? I looked it up. There are 2 billion Christians in this world. The word is spread pretty good, I would say. Most of the world has heard of Christ. Many still don't believe. But every preacher wants to be able to be used by the Holy Spirit to bring people the gospel message and the faith. Every one of you have an opportunity to share the gospel. It can be in simple ways, just in the way you live. It can be, let me tell you the comfort I have by knowing my Lord and Savior. And there's plenty around us who just give lip service to believing in Christ. They too need the gospel lesson. Peter emerged as a leader at Pentecost, and the early church had its beginnings. Peter was far from perfect, the same that we are. Peter preached a beautiful sermon in Acts chapter 2. We preach a sermon by how we live and what we do, not as much as what we have to say. So may we ask for the same filling of the Holy Spirit so that we can speak to those who need to know the love and care offered to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.